Yes, just to tell people that to join the Q&A, if you want to ask us a question, you need to join the Zoom link, and that will be on our Facebook page. So you can join us on Zoom and ask us a question, or you can just watch this on Facebook and write a question in the or make a comment in the Facebook chat, or you can write a question in the Zoom chat. You can do any of those three things. And I'll just give people a minute to switch over. And while that's going on, I'll just say that was extremely interesting because what I hadn't quite realized was that even in Jewish oral law, there were four signs that were supposed to show the Messiah was the Messiah: the healing of the deaf man who can't speak, the healing of the leper, the raising of a dead man who has been in the grave for 4 days, and the healing of a man who was blind from birth. And if you look at the Gospels, all of those things are in there. And it now makes a lot more sense why in John's Gospel, Jesus says, if you don't believe me, believe the miracles. Because of course, he's saying, I'm doing the miracles your rabbis say you need to see for the Messiah to come. So why do you still not believe me? And in John's Gospel, the question the disciples ask, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind, also now makes a good deal more sense to me than it did before, quite simply because that was something which they had been taught. So it's worth knowing that not just in the Torah, but even in the oral law, Jesus was still confirming he was who he claimed to be. And the, would you agree, Bogie, the apostles must have had this in mind when they wrote their gospels to the Jewish
Sure.
people.
Yes, I am sure in it. Yeah.
Okay. Right. I'll start on Facebook quickly. Do we have any questions or comments in the Facebook chat, Dami?
No question.
Okay. Do we have any comments you can read out for us? Nothing. Okay then. Chris, do we have anyone on Zoom with their hand raised wanting to ask a question?
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Yep. I see
Jane has a hand up.
Jane has a hand up.
Okay. Well, yeah. Yes, Jane, your question.
Okay, I'm a little confused about John the Baptist because he was there at Jesus' baptism, and we understand that the heavens opened and God spoke to Jesus. Does that mean then that John the Baptist didn't see that happening? Because then later he wanted to know if this was the Messiah. So I'm a bit confused with the two, and maybe I'm just a bit simple, but
No, it's a good question. Yes, I'm sorry if I couldn't make it clear as I wanted, but yes, he was there. He surely heard the voice of the heaven, but as I said, it had the limitations in their understandings.
Right.
Sometimes they just said, okay, we heard this, but maybe it is not relevant for this. So John the Baptist was confused because he had a picture about Jesus. He had a picture about the Messiah, and Jesus didn't fit that picture.
Right.
His picture was strongly based on messianic prophecies that he had in mind. And this is why Jesus showed him a different messianic prophecy. Yes, I do fulfill messianic prophecies, not those ones at this time, what you want to see, but I do fulfill messianic prophecies from this side, from
Okay.
these.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's really easy just to say, it's obvious. He heard the voice, he saw the signs, he knew who he was, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God," so he must have known. But still, we all expect Jesus to fulfill the picture we have in our own minds about what he should be, don't we? And Jesus wasn't doing that for John the Baptist, which is why he said, well, are you really the Messiah then? Because you're not behaving like the Messiah I've heard of.
Yes, and practically he had to do the same as Jesus said to the others, to believe the signs of Jonah. I mean, to the preaching what he was doing.
Yeah. And I've got a question, actually, and that's...
There's a question on Facebook.
Oh, yes, there's a question on Facebook. Dami, let's have that one first. What's the question on Facebook? Who is it from?
This question is by Gil Briggs. And it says, what is the Jewish perspective of the New Testament and how does it relate to their faith? What is your estimation of the description of Jesus in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, verses 14?
Oh, I think it's a double question. First of all, what Jewish people think about the New Testament? Well, they don't think that this would be a part of the Bible. For them, it's just a book about a Jewish rabbi who probably... Well, when we say that Jewish people think this, it's a very big generalization. I mean, there is no such thing as the Jewish thinking. They have several parts, several like denominations. And probably if it's about New Testament, it depends on the person. But usually, so what is sure that they don't think that this is the part of the Bible. Some of them deny of its origin, I mean, that it's trustworthy historically or other ways. Some of them deny that these things really happened, but others say that, yes, this happened, but I don't have anything to do with it. I forgot, or I didn't really understand the other half of the question about the Revelation.
I think it's asking... one of these aspects of Jesus you see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. And I think that's the description John gives of Jesus when he sees him in the vision of one like a son of man. I will answer that one, Bogie. Then you can just fill in anything which I've missed. Because essentially, well, what he's doing there is John is actually showing you that the Jesus you see in Revelation, who is nothing like the Jesus you meet in the New Testament, in the Gospels, is still the Messiah. And he's being very clever. He's going back to ancient Jewish prophecies and talking about him. I go into this in more detail in my own talk on Revelation, but it's his hair is white like wool. He is the Ancient of Days. He looks like a son of man. That's in the book of Daniel. Where the Son of Man is seen as someone who sits on the clouds and rules the earth and hands over his throne to God. You see him as feet, with feet like burnished bronze, and you see him with a sword coming out of his mouth, the word of the Lord, and his eyes are like blazing fire. All of these are aspects of Jesus found in the Old and the New Testament. So John is actually linking those together and saying this is Jesus. I mean, if you want more detail on that, you can find it in my talk on Revelation, which is on the website. And Maggie, you can fill in anything I've forgotten there.
No, that's pretty much what I would have said. Maybe I would say a little less because I am not so much in the Revelations, but yes, you are right. It refers to Daniel of, I think, 7:14, when the Son of Man is coming from the clouds. Yeah, or on the clouds.
Okay, do we have any other hands up in Zoom?
Bernie had a question. He put it on the chat. He said, how do you go about sharing the gospel to Jews today?
Aha, we were going to go into that, weren't we, if we had time. Can you give us a a brief answer, Bogi, because I know it's a complicated question.
I would say that usually it is very, very similar to any other kind of evangelization, because Jewish people are individual persons as we are. So they have their individual problems and questions. But there are some Jewish people who are much more aware of their roots, of their religion, religious roots. And it's very useful if we have a little knowledge about the rabbinical writings, not much, but a little, just to show them that, yes, we know what we are talking about. Usually it's more about understanding their individual questions, individual problems. Quite often we have to face with the problem of Holocaust and have to find the answer for their individual question about Holocaust as well.
I would only add that the one thing I would say about sharing the gospel with Jewish people, from my very limited experience doing a little bit of work in London with CWI, quite simply, is that you can't do it in numbers in a graph, like how many Jewish people did I convert today? How many people did you meet today and share the gospel with? How many people became Christians? 10, 20, 50? If you're really serious about reaching out to Jewish people, you really have to be in for the long haul. I'm only saying that because I do know of some churches and some people who do like to do, how many people did you save today? If you're a church leader, how many people did you lead to Christ today? And you have to do double the number of a missionary. And I just say that quite simply, you cannot do that with Jewish people, because you have to, a lot of it is based on understanding them as people, building a relationship with them, and then explaining to them how the gospel works, rather than assuming they'll just, you'll read a verse and they'll understand it.
Yes, exactly. So it's like a marathon and not a short-term rush.
Okay. Any more questions on Facebook or comments on Facebook, Dami? Nope. Okay. Anything on Zoom? Anything on Zoom, Chris?
I don't see anything.
Okay. I do actually have a question, and that's we've heard all kinds of really great stuff today about understanding Jesus from the Jewish perspective. But how would you respond to someone who says, "I'm not Jewish. I don't really want to do Jewish evangelism myself. That's not my calling. Why should I understand or even care about Jesus, the Jewish Messiah? Why does it matter to me that he's Jewish? Doesn't it just matter that I know him as my personal savior? Isn't that good enough?"
Well, I think it's very important to know why Jesus can be the Messiah. And if we don't understand the Old Testament, we won't understand why he became the Messiah. The gospel doesn't start from Matthew 1:1. The gospel starts when God created the universe and the human said, "No, thank you, I want to go on my way." So the gospel starts with the bad news, to share the good news of Jesus story as well. If we don't understand Jesus as the Jewish person, sometimes we misunderstand his words. If we don't understand why it was important for him not to call himself as the Messiah, because Jewish people had this kind of understanding in their head that the Messiah is the king, then we won't understand why Jesus behaved like this, why he had to hide his message so that they will understand it deeply and not only on the surface. If we reject his Jewishness, then we easily got to the point that, hey, Jesus killed Jews killed Jesus and we have to hate them. It's not true. Jesus was Jewish himself. All the disciples were Jewish. Paul was Jewish himself, every time when Jesus was preaching, it was to the Jewish people. Paul says to the Jews first. So it's very important for us to understand why it was so important. On the other hand, if we understand that if we understand the Jewish history, the Old Testament story of the Jewish people, then we will understand it for our lives, that we are safe in God's hands, even if we fail in our lives. If we fail, God is merciful. But if we don't see it in the Old Testament, then we will be in doubts in our lives as well. So knowing Jesus as the Jewish Messiah helps us to understand how much God loves us, how much he cares for us, how merciful he is, and how sure our redemption is.
I think that's a great answer. And at the risk of just repeating myself, because I've said this a few times, this is actually why the Bible Stream first started to appear, because we really want people to understand the whole of the Bible and how it all fits together, this amazing tapestry, if you like, a mosaic that God has made for us to read and to understand. And although you don't have to be Jewish to follow Jesus or to become more Jewish to follow him, certainly understanding who these people were, who Jesus came to, and who God had called, really helps you to understand him as a person. I've noticed with every other group that claims to be Christian and isn't, one of the first things they do is get rid of the Jewish history and try to rewrite it so it's something else. And what you end up with is something that quite simply does not add up. And the only real response they can give you when you point out to them that it doesn't add up is that either they've got better understanding, or that you need to ask God to confirm to you something is true, which doesn't make sense in the first place. Mm-hmm. Okay, do we have anything more on Zoom, Chris? Anything in the chat or any hands raised?
We have something on Facebook, a comment.
Okay, what have we got?
This is from Samuel Wilkins, and it says, I think it's important to understand from a Jewish perspective because it helps you have a more complete picture of him in the culture he was in. It also helps us because there were inferences the gospel writers would have known and taken for granted.
Yeah, I think yes, that's absolutely you. Right. Would you agree with that, Boogie?
Yes, I am.
Okay, anything else, Tammy?
No.
No? Okay. And anything on Zoom?
No, nothing on Zoom.
Okay. Right then. I'm going to ask another question. Boogie, I've explained this briefly, but can you tell us something about CWI? And I gather that it's actually going to change its name next year, so it's not called Christian Witness to Israel anymore. It's going to have a different name.
Yes, you are right, Danny. Sorry, David. I told them his name. CWI is a missionary organization it started 175 years ago by the Scottish Church, the Church of Scotland. It was one organization at that time. And it started its work in Palestina, at that time it was called like this, and in Budapest. While it had a great story, the missionary fell off of the camel, and two of them went back to Britain, but through the River Danube, because at that time they didn't have the airplanes. And on the ship, he got ill, or both missionaries got ill. And this is how they had to get off of the ship from in Budapest, and the princess who was Protestant, the only Protestant in the Catholic king's family, royal family, got to know that there are two missionaries ill in Budapest, and she sent her doctor to hear them and did everything to hear them. And then they started to talk when they got better. And she told them that, hey, there are a lot of Jewish people in Budapest, so you can start your work here as well. So this is how they started the work in Budapest. After the Second World War, they had to close their doors in Budapest because the Soviet Union sent them away. And it was my husband who started again this mission in Hungary about almost 20 years ago. At that time, CUWI didn't have the opportunity to employ husband and wife together. So although we both got the call 20 years ago, my husband became the missionary and he was working here. But then we had a switch. This way we could manage that both of us got involved in the mission. So now I am the CWI missionary in Budapest, and he works for Jews for Jesus as an IT. But this way we can work side by side in the Jewish mission. The name that is to be changed, well, this will be the International Mission to Jewish People. We start to wear this name from January. And the reason was that quite often churches were confused by the name CWI and thought that we are to send gifts and money to Israel because we are Christians for Israel. So this International Mission to Jewish People will be more clear for churches when we go there to share about our mission. Our mission is to tell the gospel to Jewish people because we believe that Jewish people need the Messiah as well as we do. The Bible says that there is there is no salvation in any other name but in the name of Jesus for anyone. And Jewish people belong to anyone as well. Jewish people are like anyone else, but even more so. So it means that they do need the gospel. They do need the redemption. They do need Jesus as well. And this is why we tell them to save their lives as we, well, when we evangelize to Jewish people and we meet someone who is not Jewish, of course we tell the gospel to them as well. But our priority group is the Jewish people. We work alongside with churches sometimes. So when we meet a non-Jewish person who came to faith through our work, then we send him to a church whom we know, and they will take care of them. When we meet a Jewish people who needs Jesus, first of all, we share the gospel with him. And if he gives his life to Jesus, we also would like to lead him to a church that we know and that we trust.
Yeah. I will just add that I am going to put a link to Boogie's newsletter onto our resources page, which just means that anyone who wants to follow her and hear how she's getting on and her amazing news from Hungary has the opportunity to do that. That will be going up on the website probably later this week. I would just ask, so if I say to you Israel, Boogie, what do you think of? You don't just think of the country if I say the word Israel.
Yes, of course, Israel for me is the people of Israel, but for many church, it is just a country. And this is why we just changed it in our name. But it's very, very important, David, that you share my newsletter's link on your website, because this way, if you sign up for my newsletter, you can pray for my ministry. I write my newsletters in every 3 months, and prayer is the engine of my ministry. May I share a little story with you? I just loved it. When I was in London a couple of years ago, I was in a church doing a deputation, telling about my ministry. And there I showed them a picture of one of my contacts. I never used their names, but if they let me, I use their photos. And I told them about this lady whom I hadn't met for months at that time. And I asked the church to pray for Maggie. This was the pseudonym that I used for her, just to protect her privacy. So I asked the church to pray for Maggie. And then I finished my time in the church. I went to the place where I lived at that time in London. And the next day, on Monday, I was talking with my husband on Skype. And he said at the end, "Oh, by the way, Bogie, do you know who called me to fix a date for meeting with you and me?" I said, "No, I don't know. I have no idea." It was Maggie. So just imagine, the church started praying for Maggie on Sunday morning. And then Monday morning, we got the message that she wanted to meet us. So this is why I really would like to ask you to sign up for my newsletter, because this way you will get to know my up-to-date prayer items, and you can be my partners in the ministry. You can be the missionaries alongside me through your prayers, and I will love this.
Yeah. And okay, I'm going to have one last, because time's getting on, I'm going to have one last check. Is there anything new on Facebook?
Nothing on Facebook.
Okay, anything on Zoom?
Nope, no. I don't see anything.
Okay, nothing on Zoom. Right then, in that case, we'll draw it to a close now. I'm going to wish everyone, I know how difficult this year has been, but we do still really pray that Christmas can be a beacon of light for you guys in what's been a very difficult year. So we do wish you a Merry Christmas, and we wish a Happy Hanukkah to any Jewish people, any Jewish people who are listening, because it is still the Jewish Festival of Lights, Festival of Hanukkah, a festival I've never been to and food I've never tried, but I hear it's meant to be wonderful. And
donuts, you surely tried donuts. And donuts is a traditional food for Hanukkah.
Okay, but I'm sure they make it in a special way. Okay, anyway, to let you guys know, Bible Stream will be back on the 10th of January, the second Sunday in January.